How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
Welcome to Dragoncast, home of House of the Dragon. Gather your small council, send out your ravens and call in your bannermen. I'm Hand of the King, Jamie East, here to guide you through the insane world of Westeros and beyond.
Hey, hey, hey! Welcome, Dragoncasters. Our second episode of the week is our Game of Thrones rewatch episode. I'm Jamie East.
And I am Chris Mandel.
Today we are discussing Season 7, Episode 6, Beyond the Wall, the one that Chris has been looking forward to since the dawn of time. exciting. I got a tweet this morning from, I gave a shout out to our friend Dan Story in last week's episode.
Yes. Yeah.
And he tweeted me today saying, lots of people listen on the set of House of the Dragon. And so we're coming up to him. And so we're coming up to him, mentioning the fact that he got a shout out. I cannot tell you how thrilling I find that.
Wait, people on House of the Dragon listen to Dragoncast.
I know, it's kind of like, I was like, well, after I was kind of like, oh my god, I was like, well, okay, well, of course, I guess they're going to be fans of the show that we're talking about. So why wouldn't they? But then also, it's kind of like, you know,
it's kind of like, yeah, just a bit.
It's made me feel
like, I feel like I'm going to have to watch.
It's made me feel a bit self-conscious.
Yeah.
although there isn't really anyone on. There isn't really. We're talking about Game of Thrones rewatches, and so there aren't people on there.
So they're probably listening, and when we go, oh, that, you know, that castle looked a bit fake, they'll go, we need to make that cardboard castle look better. We're getting
Jamie and Chris have decreed. Yeah.
They should invite us on the set to have a little bit of a look around.
Well, you know, it's... this is something we should take offline, but yes, I completely agree.
Hello to anyone listening from House of the Dragon, which is now in production.
In production, they must have... I mean, just think, there is somewhere, there's a hard drive with scenes already on it.
Yeah.
That's quite exciting.
It's 12:30 at the moment, so they're probably maybe having a little break, a little flask of coffee.
Yeah, they might have done a night shoot. They might have been up all night. They might have been on the second. Oh, imagine that. They're just like, they're at the catering truck having a bit of a snackette.
I bet the catering there is really good. Did you do set visits for Game of Thrones?
I did, but not whilst it was in full production, so there's no catering there, sadly.
Well, I did a set visit many years ago for the film Free Guy, which is the Ryan Reynolds, Jodie Comer film that came out in lockdown.
That was an interesting game. Interesting film.
Yeah. Well, I went, like, because it got delayed loads in the pandemic. I must have gone 2.5 years before it came out. Anyway, what I will say is the catering was amazing. It was absolutely incredible. It was just like, just so much food. There was a burger van, a pizza oven. They were doing Thai green curry that day because on like Thursdays they always did like Thai food or whatever.
Wow.
There was donuts. Oh, it was just amazing.
Well, as a Stannis knows an army marches on its stomach, and this meat's gone off.
Yeah, that's a very good, yeah, very good reference. And because I was there in an investigative reporting mode, I ate everything at the table, like the hungry millennial caterpillar I am, just to get a sense of what it was like to do that full time.
Amazing. Hold your horses for one cotton picking minute. God damn it. It's time to head over to our sister podcast Previously On for a quick 5-minute recap of Beyond the Wall. Back in a tick. We begin Beyond the Wall. John, Gendry, Tormund, the Hound, Beric Dondarrion, Thoros of Myr, Jorah and 5 other wildlings are on their suicidal mission in search of a wight to capture to prove the White Walker's existence to Cersei. The crew, not particularly happy about the circumstance or company, begin to find common ground. The Hound follows signs he saw in his vision, leading the way. Meanwhile, Arya and Sansa are talking in Winterfell, and Arya confronts her sister regarding the letter she sent back home begging their father Ned to surrender and confess his treason to Joffrey. Arya accuses Sansa of almost killing their father with this letter. Sansa quite rightly argues that she was just a child and under duress, but begins to fear she's lost her sister. At Dragonstone, Daenerys and Tyrion sit in the hall discussing military tactics for an attack on King's Landing. Tyrion also broaches the topic of her succession. Daenerys doesn't want to talk about it yet, saying she'll plan for her future once she has the crown. Tyrion also makes a little remark about Jon being the latest in a long line of brave men to fall in love with her. Back beyond the wall, a blizzard has struck. One of the wildlings spots something in the distance. They think it's an animal with ice blue eyes. The wildling retreats running at speed, but is killed by an incredible undead polar bear. It's amazing. The crew fight the bear as it continues to run amok, almost killing the Hound. The bear gets killed, but Thoros is savaged in the process, with his wounds being cauterized by Beric. Sansa and Littlefinger are discussing what to do about Arya. Littlefinger assures her that Brienne would surely intervene if Arya was to consider anything too drastic. The crew beyond the wall hear the noise of marching feet and lay a trap, ambushing some stray wights along with a White Walker. Jon sends Longclaw, his Valyrian sword, through the body of the White Walker, killing it and all the wights surrounding them as well. It appears that when a White Walker gets killed, it takes every wight it created along with it. The crew have inadvertently discovered how they might end the army of the dead once and for all. The last stray wight gets tied up and the crew head for Cersei with proof of Winter, finally. However, it howls out an almighty scream, attracting hundreds of the undead who chase the crew to the centre of a frozen lake. They're surrounded, but saved by the water. Remember Hardhome? They can't swim. Jon tells Gendry to run to the wall and send a raven to Daenerys. Gendry makes it back, just, and a raven is shortly on its way. The Night King watches from afar at the top of the lake, waiting patiently for his moment to strike. The crew discover Thoros frozen to death. So they set his body alight for warmth and to stop him turning against them. Back at Winterfell, Sansa receives an invite to meet Cersei in King's Landing. She doesn't want to abandon her post, so asks Brienne to go in her place. Brienne is reluctant, but Sansa holds firm. Daenerys gets the raven sent from Gendry and jumps on Drogon, and along with Rhaegal and Viserion, flies to Jon's aid. The Hound, bored and frustrated at the standoff on the lake, picks up a rock and hurls it towards an idle wight. He comes up short, and the rock slides along the refrozen lake. The wights realise this and begin to start crossing. The crew hold them off as best they can, but are starting to become overwhelmed. There is nowhere left to run. When all hope is seemingly lost again, Daenerys flies in. Walls of fire begin to wipe out almost everything in sight. Wights are falling like dominoes. Daenerys asks Jon to get on Drogon with her and escape, but he continues fighting. The Night King's handed an ice spear and expertly takes down Viserion, who crashes to the ground, dies, and slumps into the water. 3 dragons are now 2. Jon is tackled by wights and he too plummets underwater. The Night King takes aim again. Daenerys can't wait any longer and flies off, narrowly avoiding the second spear. Jon emerges from the lake, Longclaw in tow, trying to walk away when the wights notice he's still alive and charge for him. From nowhere, Benjen appears on horseback with a pretty badass flaming mace and saves him.
It puts John on his horse and sacrifices himself to the whites as John escapes. Thanks, Uncle Benjen. Safely back at Dragonstone, Daenerys looks on anxiously, waiting for John. Just as she's about to give up, she sees him slumped over the horse's back. He's bundled onto one of the ships bound for King's Landing. At Winterfell, Sansa finds a satchel containing two of Arya's faces, one being Walder Frey. Arya enters and explains her new skill before giving her the Valyrian dagger. On the ship back to King's Landing, Jon wakes up to Daenerys watching over him. She tells him she believes him now and will help him defeat the Night King and his army. Jon returns the favour by swearing allegiance to her as his queen. Back at the lake, huge chains are used by masses of whites to exhume Viserion the dragon's body from the water. The Night King walks forward and, yep, places his hand on the dead beast's head. He now has an ice dragon.
Listeners will know that you've fucking ate this episode. So you did say last week you weren't going to shit on it. I'm going to offer a counter argument. I really enjoyed it. I think there's daftness in the plot, and it goes a little bit Marvel and a little bit kind of like, hang on a sec, what fucking energy gels was Gendry eating? But there was lots to enjoy from this.
Yes,
lots and lots.
There is lots to enjoy. I would say also I forgot until this episode, because we've skipped
episode five. Yeah.
I forgot that the reason they know where they're going in the never before traversed parts north of the wall is that the Hound had a vision.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'd forgotten that was. Did he have that in the fire of the Brotherhood of Banners when he was like being held captive by them? So
no, it was last episode, I think.
Oh, was it? Oh. No, I. So the Hound, the fabled magical
the man that
creature,
can't look at fire without breaking out in a sweat. got his goggles on.
Of course he did. He had a vision of the mountain that looked like a match. No,
an arrowhead.
An arrowhead.
So yeah. Okay. So well, listen. I talked about it a bit last week. I think you get to a point where you're like, look, we've got 9 episodes left, or we've got 7 episodes left of this whole thing. And we've got shit tons to do. You have to build the episodes around moments, and you have to find the moment, figure the episode out afterwards.
Yeah.
That's why it is the way it is. Now, I don't want to be the sort of person that is like, dragons can't cover that distance. Listen, obviously I think that, and I spend a lot of time thinking, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's a show called Game of Thrones. Let's just let that go. I thought generally it was, really well paced. It's a really character heavy episode because there's huge. all these different the gang that's gone. They've all got different histories and different grudges and different amounts of respect for one another. And I really liked that. I thought it was really well done. There was lots of good.
Yeah, it was the script writers had fun with having Tormund speaking to the Hound and having Gendry kind of having a chat, and
with the Brotherhood he gets to finally say, like, you sold me to a witch, and then they were like, yeah, and what did she do to you exactly? And they were like, well, she put some leeches on me, and they're like,
get over
sorry
it,
that's
he's been killed 6 times.
Some of us have, like, some of us have been shoved in fires by our brothers as children, and you got sucked by a leech and then let go.
Okay, so that is predominantly, aside from a bit with Arya and Sansa, it's predominantly all north of the wall and this kind of expedition.
Yeah.
Gendry's never seen snow.
Perfect person to take north of the wall.
And I love the fact that they're arguing about what's north. It's like so similar to this is like this is people literally from Derby arguing with people from Liverpool about
arguing with people from Cumbria.
Yeah,
Jamie.
About whether they are northern or not. See, Derby people think that they're northern. They're from the East Midlands, and that's exactly what's going on. It's like, you're not fucking northern.
Yeah.
I'll give you a fucking northern, young lad.
Yeah.
So you are a northerner. You're Carlisle, right? Which is about as far north as you can get.
I grew up in Brampton, which is outside Carlisle. It's north of Carlisle.
Ooh.
It is about 3 miles to the wall. which, I mean, Hadrian's Wall, but that is literally what the wall is based on.
So can I ask a question on that?
Yeah.
Do people have Scottishish accents in where you were from? Is it literally, as soon as you cross the wall, people have Scottish accents?
Well, it's the accents immediately north of the wall, around Gretna, are quite soft. And a lot of the Carlisle and West Cumbrian, which is... Because, you know, the thing about Cumbria is you've got Carlisle, the city.
Yeah.
And then it's just farmlands, as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
And it's a very... So a lot of people don't really move around a lot. So, and also, I'm saying this as someone with a degree in linguistics. So when people don't move, the accents stay very strong. And when they do move, they sort of weaker. So you do find it's like... My dad, for example, is English, but he rolls his R's occasionally, which is a very... But that's because his mum was a Scottish. And so, yeah, so you get like... Yeah, you do notice bits of it, but yeah.
Interesting. So I've always wondered that, if it's just like as soon as you cross the wall.
To confirm, I am as north as it gets in many ways. And while some parts of the northeast are more north, the wall is not straight. So
the wall is the dividing.
But the wall kind of goes like this. So we are really close to the wall. But I hear people from Leeds being like, ooh, I'm northern. And I'm like, I didn't go to Leeds till I was
shandy drinking.
Didn't go to Leeds till I was 17.
What?
Or something like that. Yeah.
Really? Was that like a big trip to the? Was that like when Scott and Charlene go to the city and Neighbours?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this feels very southern to me. And they would, you know, effing and blinding. But yeah, you know, I related a lot to that. But I love that they're all sort of like, well, what is north? What is south? All these different factions sort of chatting away, and Jorah and John got to talk about, what's their dad called? Gior Mormont.
Yeah.
And they got to talk about him. And
tries to give Longclaw back.
He does. Also, there's just so much, because Ned is the one that captured Jorah when he was like on the run, and like he ran away because he was poaching people, wasn't he? He was sort of selling slaves.
Yeah,
that's what Jorah was banished from the family for. That's why. And that's what
I
always.
I love that about Game of Thrones. It's like, I mean, you have to do it when writing a book, but it's like, considering it's such a sprawling story covering continents and worlds. Actually, the only things that happened to like 30 people, like ever. You know, it's like, which is
everyone's got some history. The other thing that I thought was a detail that I thought A, wasn't really true, and B, just good foreshadowing, is I think it's Beric or Thoros says to John, you don't really look like your dad. You don't look like Eddard that much. And that is obviously because he is not Eddard's son. But he does look like Eddard. I think he looks like Ned Stark.
Yeah. I mean, in as much as he's got a beard and long hair, I think. Yeah. He also, you know, you could argue he looks more like Sheriff of Nottingham. You know, it's got that kind of... I think he just had a beard. It's like, but then he looks, you know, Jon Snow and Robb Stark looked very similar. You know, they did look like brothers.
Yeah.
Whereas he looks nothing
Sansa
like Bran.
And Robb and... So they are going to this specific spot in the vision to find a white.
Because that's where the Hound knows where they're all hanging out.
I guess. But then the thing that I found weird is that they find a White Walker who is like walking a load of whites around.
Yeah, this kind of like they're just off for a little day trip to Windsor Castle kind of thing.
Like exercising them? I don't know.
Yeah.
And they kill the White Walker.
But one of them...
First of all... Yeah, right. So this is the thing. This is the... We learn this in this episode.
Yeah.
If you kill the White Walker, the whites... shatter the spell that is.
Oh, is that
animating.
The first time? Is that the first time we learned that?
I think it is. Okay. I think it is. However, one of them does stay alive.
What
Jorah says to Jon on the island: if you kill a White Walker, you destroy all the bodies that they have animated. What is implicated is that one guy they captured, someone else turned him into a white and just didn't... He was just in another group. And I'm just like, the pain in my lumbar from doing these backflips to understand this concept is just...
Hang on a sec. It makes perfect sense.
It didn't happen at Hardhome. They fucking killed a White Walker and they were still like 90,000 people.
He might have been a newbie White Walker. He might have just not...
He's on probation.
Maybe all the ones that he turned were north of the water, like miles away still. And all of a sudden this whole village had just a load of prisoners being held by them. Just got millions just disappeared instantaneously like the fucking Thanos snap.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is how it works, right? But it's still like...
It's perfectly logical.
Thank God. What can you imagine though if they were like, well, we killed the White Walker and all the whites around died, so like we can't find any. We have to just go home. Obviously, I'm being a critical, difficult troll. But no, it's just stuff like this where you're like, oh, here we go. So anyway, so they find the white and they capture him and they get led to the lake, this big frozen lake. And that whole sequence is kind of amazing where they don't want to walk over it and then they sort of manage to and the whites all start to fall in. The weight of them is what shatters the ice.
Yeah.
And what it does clarify, which we didn't know after Hardhome, is that they can sort of swim. Like, some of them get out and some of them sort of burst out of the ice.
Which is weird because the whole... premise is the fact that the ice has melted so they can't get to them because they can't swim.
Oh yeah. And they couldn't swim. Maybe the only ones that can swim are the ones that if they're like just bone, they can't swim, but if they've still got a bit of flesh on them, they can. Because otherwise how do they get the dragon out? How do they get the chains around the dragon?
Some of them sacrifice themselves. The Night King said, right, dive down there with this chain while just before you die as you're sinking, just hook it around Viserion's
his tooth or something
head. Look, it's a fucking 3.5 mile long chain, the width of my house, you know.
Thank God we had these 3.5 mile chains.
Time and meaning is a fluid construct in this episode.
It is
how far from them is the wall. Do we know how many miles?
I'm not sure. I did clock though that we get Eastwatch, which is the eastmost castle that they go to.
It can't have been that close. So yeah. Eastwatch, so from where they were, is like, it's got to be
a day.
It's got to be 20 miles.
Yeah,
got to be 20 miles.
Yeah,
Gendry ran there in. I mean, it hurts your brain once you start thinking about
it. It does. And I know, like, we're not making it fun for anyone by being like, but it does get annoying. It's just a bit like...
Well, we don't have to be in awe of the... We know what happens. We know who dies. We know what happens to this, that. We can, like... It's all done with humour, where it's a bit kind of like, you can see that the writer's room must have tied itself up in knots, where they were just like...
And this is what I mean about, like... This is what I mean about, like, you know, writing yourself into corners, because Daenerys could have been like, look... I know they didn't need me, but I'm going to go anyway. And she can be on the wall with her dragons and go, I don't feel good about this. They've been away a whole day.
Yeah.
You know, it's the writing in, like, leave your hammer and run to her. Or send a raven to Dragonstone.
Send a fucking dragon just to kind of, like, drone over. Like, to be a drone with them.
So I think this is what I mean. It's like, there's a better version of this story that doesn't involve the gymnastics that it had to do. But I think, again, it's just...
So there are only two things that needed to happen in this episode, right? One is that they capture the white. Two is that Viserion gets killed.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that have to happen. Because there was no way for the Night King to get past the wall without the Ice Dragon.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I'll let you finish. Yeah,
so everyone had kind of like pretty much guessed that at some point he was going to get a dragon. We all thought it was because John was going to have one dragon, which is what happened.
Mm.
So they were the two things that had to happen. And I agree with you that the way that happened was just weird. Yeah. I, I watched this with Mrs. East, this episode, and she sat down and she immediately clocked which episode it was, and she went, "This is my favourite ever episode of Game of Thrones."
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say the exact opposite.
No. I think... Okay. We watch this through a different prism.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
My wife watches that through... I fucking love Beric Dondarrion. It's exciting. Fuck, there's a big bear and the dragon gets killed. They're like the big... It's
also a shit ton. You cannot be on your phone when this is on. You have to watch it. It's a lot of action.
It's tense. Have you ever read the book Dark Matter?
No.
Right. It's a really, really good book. It's like a horror. It's a horror story set in snow, and and you get a real sense of that at the beginning. Where it's like, is that a bear? And then someone says, "Does a bear have blue eyes?" And you go, "Oh my god!"
That bear was kind of
the bear was batshit. Great.
First white bear, WIGHT bear. We've seen horses. We've seen giants. We'll see a dragon by the end of the season. That's cool, and you know.
But my point is that it's an exciting episode.
If you don't
analyse the plot holes, it's a fucking great episode because it's got because it contains everything. It's got foreshadowing. It's got action. It's got horror. It's got scares. And then over in Winterfell, we have a great set of Arya and Sansa really getting stuck into it.
Yeah.
So can we talk about the Winterfell bit for a second? Because I've forgotten. I'm hoping you can tell me. At this stage, are they both playing Littlefinger off? Because all of a sudden I remembered at the end that it was all a big ruse, that basically Littlefinger thought he was playing them off against each other when in effect they were switcheroo on him. Has that happened yet?
No. I mean, okay, so there's two... I think there's two things. I think you can see it as them performing, falling out.
Yeah.
But most of the scenes they're in, there's no one around. So I think the slip-up is actually next episode when Baelish says to Sansa, "Your sister wants to be the Lady of Winterfell." And Sansa's it's literally not what she wants. You've never spent any time with Arya. Yeah. The only thing you can think of is that she wants the same thing I want. You're bullshitting.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it comes.
Okay.
I remember when I watched this the first time and probably the second or third times, I thought, I don't like this storyline because I don't like the way they've just created tension that probably wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
I will just also... caveat that by saying I think it's actually great. It's a great episode. It actually kind of works, but I do think it could have been improved. Them arguing in front of people so that Littlefinger hears that they're always fighting.
Yeah.
One of the things that I don't really buy is Arya saying, "I saw you when our dad got beheaded. You were with the Lannisters," because when he gets beheaded, Sansa...
She really was not happy, yeah.
She screams and then, faints.
Yeah.
So you're kind of I just don't believe that you believe that she's complicit in this. The other line that sort of really stuck out on a rewatch was Sansa says to Littlefinger, "You know, the Northern Lords won't back me because I've been married to two of our enemies." Like, you were a child when you were married to both of them, and no one in this society is she chose that dishy Lannister. Like, she was forced to do it.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the anxiety and a lot of the paranoia just doesn't really, wash.
No, having said it doesn't. That, you're right.
The scene where Sansa, goes to Arya's room and finds all the masks, I really like that. And this is something I only picked up today. Sansa very distinctly closes the door behind her, and then later on Arya's there and the door's still shut.
Yeah,
she got in without even making a sound, and I thought, oh yeah, there is something that Arya does this season where she just sort of turns up without making a noise, which is quite frightening.
Well, also it's foreshadowing. She can sneak up anywhere. Yeah,
and she does that with the Night King somehow in the next season. So the winter. So yeah, to answer your point, I don't think they are playing along at this point.
Right.
I also think when you've got Bran, human Wikipedia, wouldn't you just go, "Look, Can you just go there? But we said this last week. Isaac Hempstead Wright says that Bran hasn't learned how to do it yet. But we saw him say chaos is a ladder when Littlefinger said the word chaos. I'm sure if you just...
I'm sure he got a hint of like, actually, Littlefinger's a bit of a nutter. You need to watch out. Guys, sisters, can we just like... Yeah.
The other thing, though, that I want us to talk about with these two is that Sansa sending Brienne away... is an interesting one. Yeah. I presume she wanted Littlefinger to see her sending Brienne away to think, "Oh, she's even more alone, and I can move in for the kill."
But that gives the impression that they are onto him.
No, because I thought the point that she sent Brienne away for was Littlefinger said she's there to serve both Catelyn's daughters, and I think this, you're supposed to think that Sansa thinks Brienne will work with, like, we'll gets on better with Arya.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But again, listen, my back is killing with the gymnastics I'm having to do to justify some of this. So, yeah. But also, you know, again, it goes, well, Brienne needs to be at the big meeting next episode because she needs to reunite with Jaime and she needs to reunite with the Hound. I thought it was quite in keeping for Sansa to be like, the fuck, I'm not going back to King's Landing. Fuck that. No, exactly.
But also, yeah, she was the Lady of Winterfell. She was like, I'm not going there if there's a chance I can be killed because there's no one else to run this place. John hasn't been seen for weeks.
Just because she summoned me, it's like, it's not jury duty. I don't have to go.
No.
So I sort of respected that, although it would have been really cool, you know, Sansa never sees Cersei again in the show and there's no... Arya doesn't see her, as far as I'm aware. So
no, that's true.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame.
Yeah,
it's a shame. I like the Winterfell stuff. It's paranoia. It's kind of difficult. It's weird. I just think
they're in a state of flux, aren't they? You know, they're kind of lost without Jon because he was like a true leader, even though he wasn't the true leader. Mm-hmm. But again, it's also like it's the women left in flux because the men are out fighting. It's just such a typical kind of like...
I sort of think one of the things they could have done to just like write out Bran is he goes, look, I need to plug into the Weirwood tree and I need to learn as much as I can about the Night King. Do not disturb. You know, like when back in the day, if you wanted to like go on the internet, your mum had to get off the phone to like uncle such and such. You had to, you know... I kind of think they could have just... He could have gone, look, I've got to go through, like, 20 million years of history.
Yeah.
Deal with your own shit.
It's
going to
take a while.
And he has, like a tie on his door to just be like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
That could have been an easy way to just... Because otherwise, I'm like... I'm watching this whole thing and I'm like, what's Bran doing?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
What's your plan? Yeah.
What's he up to? Is he just...
Well, what he is going to be doing right now is listening to a word from our sponsors.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. juvederm.com. That's juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to that, Bran. Much appreciated. You're listening to Dragoncast, home of House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones and Succession and the OA, RIP OA. This is Game of Thrones Rewatch, Season 7, Episode 6. Okay, let's get into Avengers Assemble moment.
Yeah.
Love it. I don't know, actually, before then, there was Tyrion chatting to Dany, which I really enjoyed that, you know.
Yeah.
Then they're really not getting on. Danny's thinking, I hired too hastily. I've hired this guy straight off LinkedIn without meeting him. And I don't think he's on my side. Tyrion is like, holy shit, I've backed a nutcase.
This is all stuff that once you see where Daenerys goes, you're like, oh God, the signs were all there that she, you know.
This is what I meant. This is what everyone was moaning about next season. It's like, it's these moments that literally, she said it out loud.
Yeah,
Tyrion's been like, oh, you wanted to break the wheel. You didn't want to do this. You don't want to be Aegon. Aegon did this. And she's like, yeah, fuck it. I see what he meant now.
Well, she, you know, I think on some level, like, conquering peacefully is just quite boring, right? She's like, God, I have to get everyone.
But conquering, the word conquering is not like just, it's not negotiate. You don't negotiate your way to power.
She's impulsive and she's like, what the fuck do you mean?
He's
like,
how dare you say I'm impulsive?
Yeah. Who's impulsive now? But she kind of goes, oh, everything I've done has been a very rational and thought out decision. And he says, well, what about when you burnt Randall Tarly and Rickon or Dickon or whatever he's called?
Yeah.
And she's like, that was entirely justified. You know, but none of them knew she was going to do that. You start to see it all falling apart a little bit, but
yeah, she's bending the rules at her will.
What's interesting though is, you know, you mentioned earlier, like, the two things that have to happen, they got to get the white, the dragon's got to get zombified,
yeah,
you know. And I would say there would be other ways, you know. It's interesting that she chooses to go and save them because she's like, well, we need the white.
She had a fur coat on.
Lovely.
Lovely fur coat. I saw that.
Lovely fur coat. I love the fact that she, you know, listen,
she planned.
People say she's impulsive.
Winter.
She clearly packed her fucking winter clothes.
Can someone
go
and find me 10 white foxes, please? Because
maybe that's why the polar bear had no fur on it. It's been skinned.
Yeah.
I'm interested, and I think it speaks to her in a good light that she's like, I have to go and do something. Because I suppose the political infighting she's felt quite unused and quite like, oh God, I can't do anything. I'm stuck on Dragonstone. And I like that she's like, I've got to go and save them.
Well, but I think it was because she knows that Jon is her only real ally. You know, Tyrion was supposedly her most loyal subject.
Yeah.
That conversation, she's just like, hang on, this guy's not on my side at all. He's not thinking, where's that fit guy who Drogon likes a lot?
I can't
be without him. You know, she needed him. So, yeah, I was the least surprised person in the world when Dany went mad. I'll put it that way.
She also seems to, I think, really respect John, but I think she's like, this is kind of, he's really popular. Mm. He's got the North. Other people seem to like him.
Yeah.
So she's kind of, I think part of it is like, I can't lose him because I've lost so many other, you know, Dawn, Pike, whatever. She's like, yeah. Shit, I need him.
Yeah. And they're also talking about succession, ironically. With Tyrion, which is like, you can't have kids. What's going on here? What are you going to do? She's like, you're planning for my death? And he's like, well, yeah, that's the fucking job, you know.
She's very succession, very, very Logan being like... You know,
yeah.
I haven't really written anything down. Everything's just in the margins, and it's a good point. They mentioned the like voting at Castle Black. He mentions what they do in the Iron Islands, which is a similar sort of process.
Yeah,
choosing a successor and sort of giving power to the people, which she sort of is a bit like. I'm not even on the throne, and you're already planning what happens after, but. You know, it's a good sort of reminder that the only thing she has approximating children are the dragons, and one of them's about to get got. So she flies over to sort of try and rescue them.
Well, I mean, before that, we don't even. Yeah, that's and then it all goes a bit. The rumble of cloud I loved.
Yes,
I loved that kind of like calling card of the Night King.
Yeah,
because that's when John knows that shit's about to get that he can't. He's not going to be able to fight his way out of this. Although him trying to fight his way out of this is the reason that Viserion gets zombified in the first place because he dilly dallies rather than getting on the fucking dragon.
Getting on the dragon, which who knew they could hold like 9 people.
I know Tormund weighs a fair bit as well. I can't imagine.
And the Hound, because he's about 7 foot.
Are you the one they call the dog? Yeah. I have to say, any scene with Beric Dondarrion is a great scene. Richard Dormer,
amazing,
is fucking brilliant. I have to him. He is exactly the same as Beric Dondarrion in real life, and I mean this in the most affectionate way. He's a fucking nutcase. He's brilliant.
Is he? Oh, I love that.
At the premiere for season 8, when we did the thing in Belfast. Mm-hmm. He was all over the shop in a brilliant way. He was great fun to be around.
Little loopy, is he?
Great fun.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So he looks like... it does look like he seems like the character sort of came into his own because of who was playing him, that makes 100%. Sense.
He was so, so good. Those swords, the flaming swords, actually light as well. Like, so there are... Elements. There are elements. No, even better than that. So there are versions where it's just CGI'd, obviously. But Tommy, who was the weapons master for Game of Thrones. Hey to Tommy, if you're listening, miss you, big guy. He built these swords. Yeah, that they genuinely had a pipe in the middle filled with like propane, and a pipe that ran down the sleeve of Richard Dormer to his feet. Where he had like a kill switch and stuff in his shoe where he could light it just by triggering like his foot. Amazing. So they actually, like, you know, when you're a kid and you watch like Star Wars and you go, oh my God, imagine if those lightsabers were real. Fucking Beric Dondarrion's sword actually exploded into flames at will. Oh my God. Will.
He'd be so popular in like the smoking area. Someone's like, anyone got a light? And he just sort of takes someone's face off accidentally.
Love it.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's really exciting. And yeah, you know, the onslaught, he's been resurrected by the Lord of Light. He can do what Melisandre can do, which is, well, in the books, he actually uses wildfire to light his sword.
Does he?
A little cachet of it, yeah. But in the show, it's just implied because he's come into contact with the Lord of Light, the Red God, whatever, he can just do it. And it's
I must say I prefer that. Sort of. I prefer him having a bit of magic about him. Just walking around with a bottle of wildfire just sounds like a really dangerous thing.
I think especially because I was actually reading this morning. I've always found the Night King's javelin, for lack of a better word. I was like, so well, you just
carry
it just on. Went on and just threw that at the dragon. It is his sword. It's his like, you know, the White Walker's version of a broadsword, which is like a very thin, you know,
very floppy. Very flaccid in real life. Yeah. Made out of hard plastic. Made out of like latexy rubber. Like a big flat.
So I was kind of like, oh, what the fuck is that? You know, if it's a sword, fine. But you just thought, hey, do you know what? I could actually probably hit that creature I've never seen in my life. But George R. R. Martin has written about the White Walkers, and he says they can do things with ice that we could only imagine. And right. So I think it's good in, if we think about Beric having the flaming sword. This is like a magic ice sword. And yeah. I imagine
it can
just it's the fact it's magic that is yeah. what kills Viserion. It's like dragon glass on crack.
Yeah, that's kind fair
of.
Enough.
But
that's
it's fair. Not really. It's not really sort of clear. I didn't mind the spear on a second one. I was like, do you know what? It's fine.
Yeah, I didn't particularly like... I didn't care much for the CGI of it. It kind of didn't feel like a real... He didn't put any kind of effort into it, and it just kind of like yeah. flying. I'd like to have heard a Night King grunt. I just liked that whole... I mean, Gary, it does it quite a lot, doesn't it, with... I don't know how many times Jon Snow has to get surrounded before he kind of like catches the eye of Jorah or Tormund and like, this is it. We're fucked now. I loved the Hound kind of like just getting bored and just starting throwing fucking rocks at them. And that's how they realize that the ice is frozen over. I mean, it was cheesy as fuck. But like that, like he hit the jaw off like one of the most boniest kind of like whites there who like, no brain or muscle or anything managed to kind of like think, hang on a minute, and like look down, looked
that
up.
That was the one that is
looked down
is,
again.
Is so emaciated.
Yeah, there's nothing to it.
His boots still stay on his feet. I'm like, they look about 40 sizes too big. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, sure, okay, yeah, your rugs are on, fine. Oh, but dear. Yeah, that is thrilling though. When they all, there's so many of them.
It was a good moment. It was a good you know, it was a nice.
So this is there's a theory. So in the books, Stannis is about to fight Ramsay near Winterfell. There's this theory that what's going to happen in the next book is that Stannis leads Ramsay's army onto this huge frozen lake and they all fall in and drown. Because there's so much snow at the moment that the lake is like covered in a sheet of snow.
Right.
And I thought what
they don't know it's a lake.
No, because they just don't. They're not real Northerners. They're from like Bradford, you know. So they think they know the North. Stannis has been, you know, because he is a sort of general. He's studied the area, and he goes, "We're going to set up camp here. We're going to have them charge, and hopefully they'll fall in and they'll all just freeze to death." And I thought when I watched this, I thought this feels very like someone's been on the forums and has heard about this because it's sort of similar where they all start to fall through the ice and you know. And as we can see, it is a really deep lake.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, really that deep. Shot when Drogon goes down and Jon falls in at one point, and it is just like plummets down.
We'll get onto that. But R.I.P. Thoros Mir. Is that how you say his name?
Thoros
of Mir. Yeah. Paul Coe was great in it. I loved it. It just kind of like he looked like he just. He wasn't that dissimilar from his character in Afterlife, really.
Yeah,
he just kind of like.
Yeah,
he just rocks up and he's just like. I know I'm only here for a few episodes, so I'm just going to really fucking love it. I really enjoyed seeing him in there. Amazing hairstyle.
Love it.
But, it, you know, left Beric Dondarrion up shit creek without a paddle. It's kind of like, right, well, your priest's dead now. You're on
this
your
is
last,
my last.
You're on your last hurrah. Life. You're on
no
your
one
last
can
hurrah.
Bring me back. Yeah. And John had a similar thing, didn't he, where he was like, you know, I don't know why I was brought back, but.
I enjoyed that chat again. Where it was just kind of like there was a little bit of a theology kind of a thesis going on there between the pair of them earlier on, wasn't there? Where it was just like,
yeah, it was really
who
nice.
Knows what it all means? And on paper, you know, everyone talks about everyone's different gods, and you believe in the faith of the Seven or the Lord of the Light or, you know, the fucking Weirwood or whatever it is you believe in. The Lord of the Light is the only one that we see any proof of in the whole of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's sort of like,
so
hey.
If you take that as given, then the prince that was promised is a real thing. Not just like a fable, but that actually, you know, because we have no, the faith of the Seven just come across as like militant, like lunatics.
Yeah. Yeah.
What other religions are there? Or is it just those two main ones?
There's the... The many-faced god, is that the one that they do?
I'm not sure about that. I think that was just, as I've said before, I think that's just a way of just earning a bit of cash. That's they're the fucking.
Well, yeah, but then so is, like, if you think about the High Sparrow, you know, he was always like, people would, you know, Cersei gave him all this money and he brought an army, and it's like they'll all happily take.
The High Sparrow was
coins.
The Nan Pierce of Game of Thrones.
Oh my god!
Like,
yeah.
Oh, this is disgusting.
Six. What comes next? I think there's, I mean, the Lord of Light seems to have worked in some way, because, you know, for all you could say, well, Stannis sacrificed his daughter and the sun came out, might have happened anyway. But
yeah,
John came back to life.
Well,
you know,
even if. Just fucking Beric Dondarrion being able to light his sword by the power of thought would be enough. If someone did that in front of me and said, you know what, Buddha, this, that god, this god, fuck them all. My god's Peter, but look what he can do. Holds up a sword in front of me and turns and makes it flame in front of my eyes with no... I'd believe in that god. I'd be like, right, okay, fine, I'm with you. I take it all back. You know.
And then you find out he's got a pouch of brandy on him, and you think, hang on a minute, you've just been flambeing this sword, you charlatan.
Tommy from Belfast is behind him with a gas propane canister.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, and also, you know, look, I don't know, we don't know anything about it, but maybe the White Walkers can resurrect people through the same thing that the Lord of Light does. Maybe there's something, reanimation or life or whatever you're imbuing. You know,
well,
it's magic.
The devil
at the
versus
end of the day.
I mean, every god has its polar opposite. So maybe who knows?
The fight is rough. You know, the White Walkers have turned up presumably just because they've got nothing else to do, and they're like,
so they
what's
queue
going
up.
On?
They queue up one by one to take on each person.
And then when it looks like all hope is lost.
Oh, I mean, that shot, come on. That shot was great.
Amazing. It looks like something out of a Godzilla movie. Yeah. Like, it's so... And it's because of all the colour. It's because of all the orange and
the
blue.
Light, it just turns from ghost from blue. The screen turns orange before you even know what's happening.
Yeah, it was great.
Such a good
it's good. And I think, you know, there's an amazing shot where, like, is it Tormund goes in the water?
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, he's underwater and you see, like, the orange light up the sky above him. It's just really, really stunning.
And then
next thing you know, they're getting everyone on the bus to go back to school.
But come on,
the buddy system's working.
I'm in my
well.
Mum's car.
The buddy system's working well until we realise there's no Jon Snow, but and he's there fighting everyone himself.
Well, this was the daft bit. I mean, out of all of it, this was the daft bit for me. It's just like, John, what are you doing? You can just get on the fucking dragon.
Get on, man. So why are they all on? Why are they all on just one of the dragons?
Because the other two are floating around, and I guess because the other two, I don't think anyone's ridden the other two yet. Maybe they're not kind of like, they're not broken in yet. They're like those bucking broncos. They'd like absolutely flip their fucking lid if someone like got on their back. Can you imagine them bucking bronco dragons? So I guess that. But then, so the spear kills Viserion, and it's a great shot. You know, it comes down like hits the jugular. There's blood everywhere. Goes down, crashes. Daenerys puts on a sad face.
Do you know, it doesn't look sad enough. I'm not to criticise Emilia Clarke. She smashes it on this show. She just sort of goes like this.
Oh, bloody
where's
hell.
The I thought a scream. I thought like a... Anyway, sorry.
She's
a mansplain.
Queen. She's a queen. So the Night King manages to hit Viserion from, I'm going to say, half a mile away.
Yeah.
Then fails to hit Drogon from, I'm going to say, 50 feet.
Who is slower and has just got in the
Come
air.
On. Who's on the floor,
also,
not moving.
I didn't catch this, but did he pick up his sword after it fell? Or does he have, like, five of them?
Another one was handed to him by his lieutenant. His lieutenant.
I would not be...
Mr.
They
Walter,
look expensive.
Mr. Walter Whitewalker. Yeah.
I would be... I would not be just hoying them around.
Well, it's just isn't it? Theoretically, it's just fucking frozen water.
Yeah, but, you know...
You can make magic.
Yeah.
And then all that happens. Get back. We see Jon Snow's gaping wounds, which
So just to Jon doesn't get on the dragon.
No.
He gets left. And they
yes, of course. My God, we have fucking Benjen.
And then Benjen turns up where he probably heard the dragon and was like...
Oh. And then we get into a bit of a Titanic door situation here, which is like... So we've got a dragon that can hold about 10 people, but a horse that can't carry two. Was that
one? Also, by the time that the horse comes to Eastwatch, John's not even sitting on him. He's been like dragged along the floor. So you think, God, you didn't even sit on it. You wasted a good seat. But I think Benjen, you know, is a typical northern uncle, just doesn't really know what to talk to his nephew about. So he thought, I'll not go with the odds.
I'm not going to have this awkward, like, we're going to have to play Uno.
He's going to have to tell you where I've been for 6-7 seasons. I don't want to. So he's just going to be like, oh, you know, I'll just kill
myself. That's it, RIP Benjen as well.
And he has a light up swinging thing.
That was great.
Yeah, did very cool.
It looked, I mean, again, visually, like that was really good.
And he sort of dies.
Just dies.
Fighting, presumably saving the lighter, Jon.
Presumably his ball and chain is got the same magic as Beric Dondarrion's sword, then.
Well, I think it's actually the Children of the Forest do that magic where they had, like, hand grenades. I sort of wondered if it was that, because if he's a bit if he's a bit White Walker himself, like, if he's, like, a bit undead but got saved,
Fair
that
enough.
Fire would just, it would just melt, he'd just melt. But yeah, I just, Benjen is, it's nice to have him back, but it's like the show again, it was like, well, we're not sure why, how, why.
We've got to do something with him. Yeah.
He did explain in the last season when he saves Bran and Meera, and he says they tried turning him into a White Walker and the Children of the Forest reversed it or something like that.
That feels to me like feels like they forgot to ask George what happens with Benjen. Like when they're like,
you've got three questions, and they're like,
oh, fuck. Do we ask for Ben? Do we ask about Benjen, or do we ask about the Long Night? Oh, it's got to be the Long Night. Yeah. Too late, not telling. Yeah,
yeah. It just feels like there was a bit. So you know, don't find it that satisfying when they bring someone back and they don't really tell you why. You think
Jon? I was interested, and it probably means nothing. It's like when Jon arrived at wherever it was they were, the Eastwatch. His scars, like when Daenerys like spies his six pack with scars on, they're really
insane body.
Yeah, but they're really fresh scars still. They were like moist and gaping. In the next scene where they're holding hands, they are closed and healed or healing.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they're very, very different to how they looked. And I don't know whether that was just a continuity error or whether it means...
They probably shot the first one second because they went, it doesn't look woundy enough.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But yeah, she sees that for the first time. You know, Davos says to her earlier in the season, he literally took a knife through the heart. And she's like, what a strange thing to say to someone who...
And he was like, oh, it's a metaphor.
Yeah. When he said literally, he meant metaphorically. Do you know what the other thing is? Just talking about how colloquial the language is now. The Hound says to Gendry, like, oh, stop bitching about something. And I was
whinging.
Like, he said bitching as well. Yeah. He did say whinging, because he said, when you complain with your mouth open, that's whinging.
That's it, yeah, that's whinging. Oh, he said bitching as well. That doesn't feel very Westerosi, does it?
It's like someone, I'm sure someone gets called like a dick on one episode. And I was like,
Yeah. Yeah, and then someone starts flossing, and there was like they did the weekend dance. They did the weekend dance at some point. It all got a bit.
Anyway, so they get back. Jon apologizes.
Sorry for killing the dragon.
She's like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah, I didn't really feel the whole kind of thing. Yeah, but that was your child. That was one of your children. It's like, she doesn't seem to be that bothered. And then we get the greatest shot. Arguably was the chain shot with I mean it was a real whether you agree with the logistics of it or not, it was such a crowd pleasing shot because it was just like, here we fucking go.
And it's like, oh, they're fucked.
Yeah, it felt they're like fucked. Well, without, you know, because all we've heard for 7 seasons is like, yeah, but dragons, You know, we can't do it. Yeah, but dragons. Yeah, but it doesn't matter how many arms you got, she's got dragons. You know, we've seen her solve everything just by burning things alive. And then it's like, oh, yeah. Well, we've got the fucking guy with the zombie army and he's got a dragon now. You are screwed.
Yeah.
And you know what? Not wrong.
Do you know what? You know, obviously never written an 8-series TV show with these budgets before. Easy to judge from the sidelines, but I will say this. I think they should have spent season 7 doing the fight for the Iron Throne, season 8 fighting the White Walkers. I think the problem is that they've just kind of got it all. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Hard agree on that, because as I've always said throughout this rewatch, the bit that the most enjoyable thing to watch for this was the Battle of Ice and Fire, was the Night King versus that. I always found that to be the more important of the two things. The political thing is great and exciting and intriguing and complex.
Yeah.
But yeah, I needed the Long Night to be the last episode.
Yeah, because it was
doesn't
so
mean
much,
I didn't want anything that happened after that to happen. I just wanted that to be the final episode, because
it's just on such a big scale. It's on such a big scale. Yeah. The thing I think also, Daenerys says a couple of times, she's only helping because Jon's going to bend the knee. She's only getting involved because it means his like subservience to her cause. And so what I would think would have been fascinating is if she wins the throne and then she won't help because she's like, I've got what I want now.
Yeah.
And that, it's very noble of her helping, but it is sort of not... That's where I think we kind of lose her, because it's like, you're actually really ruthless.
But she fell in love with him, Chris.
I think, yeah, well,
you can't deny the Kit cock would not play an impact, would not have an impact on your political persuasions.
Listen, I would go north for him.
You go north, you go interstellar.
I would do my gymnastics for him. He's quite short. I mean, do you know what? It doesn't matter.
Well, they say that in this episode where they say he's quite short, isn't he?
Quite a short fella. Yeah.
He is.
But he's got small hands. Not that, nothing wrong with that, but I just... Wouldn't be fun to play basketball with, would he?
He would not. Okay.
Anyway... I did enjoy that episode.
Lots to talk about.
I think next episode is a real winner. Like this big confrontation in King's Landing.
Got a bit of it. And it's got a great final scene as well. There we are. We're hurtling towards it as well, aren't we?
It's crazy. 4 more to go.
We've only got 4 more Game of Thrones rewatches to do, because as we've mentioned before, we're going to do season 8. We're going to do 2 episodes at once. We're going to do the whole season, but two episodes per podcast episode.
I'm actually really looking forward to that.
Same. And we haven't talked ourselves out of it either. We are still going to do the final Game of Thrones rewatch live. We're going to stream
it,
I think, on YouTube. I think, unless someone can tell me, I don't understand Twitch.
It might be illegal. Oh.
I don't think it won't be illegal, but we're definitely going to stream it live on YouTube, unless someone technical can tell us that there's a better way or more interactive way of doing that. That's what we're planning on doing. And I think, are you coming over to Shays East to do that?
Yeah. Obviously, won't be able to do it in work hours.
No, exactly. Well, we'll do it live on the Monday, on the Monday evening, maybe. We'll figure something out. Until next time, Dracarys, my friend.
Dracarys.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter @DragonCast_pod or email DragonCast@DaffDoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for DragonCast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside, is very much appreciated. DragonCast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel, and is a Daff Doris production. Dracarys. Dracarys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.